You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Martial arts. Yeah.
Oh, is that the lyric of the song?
Mixed martial arts.
Those are really good
lyrics. Mixing the martial arts. Mix.
Okay.
Martial.
Hello, everyone. This is the UC Vegas 34 post-fight show. I apologize. I'm a little slow to react here. I'm just sending out a spicy tweet just to let some more people know that we are happening. So if you guys see a tweet with a lot of typos in it, it's because I was talking to you guys while doing this. But I think we are okay to fire and okay to go. Everyone, thank you for joining us. It is I, Alexander K. Lee, who has kind of taken over some of the hosting reins while our main man, Mike Heck, is on vacation. And of course, taking on the co-hosting reins and also still doing the production reins, one Mr. E. Casey Lydon.
Hey, look, I discovered a new flavor of LaCroix. It's guava. It tastes pink.
What's pretty awesome. LaCroix?
LaCroix.
What's LaCroix?
It's LaCroix.
I don't know if we have that in Canada.
It's weird. I'm from a sophisticated nation.
You are.
States of America.
Look, we'll get there. We'll get there. Yeah, look, what the 12-fight card. We just had ourselves a pretty decent main event, I think. Not the kind of main event that if you're up at 1:30 in the morning on the East Coast, you're kind of like, you know, you're feeling it's going to keep you up necessarily. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little gassed. Having to watch all 12 of those fights. But it wasn't a bad card, Casey. Let me get your thoughts just overall right away, counting the prelims and the main card. How are you feeling after that? After a dirty dozen?
It was as advertised. I know we didn't grade this card before, but you know it was a fight night card. You know, with no real serious title implications. You know, guys, obviously everyone wants to win, but no shockers, nothing kind of blew me away, but some good finishes, especially some really nice knockouts, especially at the beginning of the card. And no shockers, because people fighting and people doing what they do, and you know, no one, yeah, yeah, nothing, nothing
yeah, this
nothing,
is
nothing
this
blew me away. Nothing blew me away in the sense of like, oh, Jared Cannonier is a master leg lock submission guy now, or nothing like that. It's like kind of like what everyone came has advertised, delivered, and some formed a little better and some didn't.
we're old hat at this. Yeah. A lot of the people watching are old hat at this. I think you guys understand what Casey's saying here. It was a fine card. I think a lot of these sort of lower key fight nights have this good formula, ideally, of some exciting finishes on the prelims, and then, you know, the main card, a few more recognizable names. Might not be the case tonight, but that's generally how the formula goes. Really, really exciting prelims for sure. That's some excitement in the main card. But yeah, the main event was fairly predictable, not necessarily on who you thought might win, but as far as like, we knew it was just gonna be a competitive five rounder. Very doubtful that either Cannonier or Gastelum would finish the other guy. I think 48-47 Cannonier was the perfect score. I thought the judges did a good job there.
Everyone pretty much scored it that way too. I think I saw about 95% of people scoring that way. I think round one probably the iffy round, or was everything pretty clear? I think there was some debate
in round one. Same.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was the most disputed one. Yeah, I went with Cannonier.
But 2 through 5 seemed to be pretty easy to pick.
Yeah, even with Gastelum, like, recovering really well from those. There was one that was definitely the first time that Cannonier rocked him. I would say that was a knockdown. The second time, it was more of a slip. He kind of caught him with this, like, uppercut, and then Gastelum just kind of slipped and then went for a leg. I wouldn't have scored that a knockdown. I'm pretty sure it wasn't.
Did they actually show the replay? I know DC was talking about it and said that that wasn't a knockdown. That was actually just a slip. And,
yeah.
Yeah, but I like what Anik pointed out, and this is – I know we're going to talk about a lot of things. We're kind of jumping into judging real quick, but I just want to emphasize what a hard job judging is, because remember, you don't have replays as a judge. So if you're watching from any position, it from a home, from the home position, it looked like he got dropped of uppercut. Then DC tells us, oh, actually, that's not what happened. It was just the angle that we saw. But for a judge, unfortunately, that was kind of a clear round for Cannonier. But if that was a close round, that kind of really changed the fight. So just where you're sitting as a judge is incredibly important. And remember, you at home have the best view of the fight, not the people, you know, only feet away from the actual fight. It's very odd, but that's just a reality.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole reason for the three judges, right? It's theoretically, yeah, the three of them should form this multi-headed being that can get the right angles. Doesn't always work out that way. It is how we kind of get some weird split decisions. But overall, I thought the judging tonight was pretty strong. I'm trying to see, maybe 30-27 for Mark O'Madsen might have been a bit off, but that was a very close fight. Clay Guida fights are pretty difficult to score. There's a lot going on, but not necessarily a lot of scoring going on. So again, maybe if I watch it again, I could say more strongly whether like, oh, that 30-27 was completely insane. I did think it was the oddest score of the night, but I think the right guy probably won.
Yeah,
it could have gone either way.
I was pretty confident Madsen was the better fighter tonight, and I did have it 29-20. I think Clay started. Okay. There was a lot of fights tonight. I think Clay did start strong, and there was a solid round for Clay. But I thought, especially toward the end, Clay was just doing a lot of bouncing, but really no action. And nothing blew me away in the fight as far as like, oh man, Madsen's gonna be fighting for the title pretty soon. Madsen got solid victory for Madsen. Good for him. I know he's going through a lot of personal shit right now in his life. So hopefully that, you know, two checks helps him out. But
Let's talk about the main event a little more.
We got to guess who got the fight of the night, performance of the
Oh my gosh! Okay, see, this is standard Mike Heck stuff. This is new for me.
This is good.
Go ahead, Casey. It might have come up already, but let's. Okay. I'm gonna not look at Twitter. Okay. Go ahead, kid. You go first.
Fight of the night, Pantoja Royval.
Mm-hmm.
And knockout. Performance of the night. How do you say his name? Ignacio.
Ignacio. Yes. Bahamondes, yes.
Sick. I'm gonna go Nunes.
Okay. I'll say this. Bahamondes should be a lock because he was not only did he win with the wheel kick in the last like 6 seconds of the fight, he was on his way to winning a decision. Yeah. Pretty sure he was gonna win a decision. Very great striking performance by him. So that for me is the definition of a great performance. It's not a fluke, you know, you show how dominant you are over he again almost three rounds for him, and then you still get that finish, one of the best finishes of the year. Perfect. He has to get one. I don't know. I really like the Pachel Hubbard fight though, so that might steal the fight of the night. I think Pantoja might get the other performance bonus. So I'll go with that. I'll go with the lightweights, Pachel and Hubbard getting a fight of the night, Pantoja and Bahamondes getting the performance bonuses. So we'll see when those come up, guys. Usually they're tweeted out or someone in our Slack business will say who will throw it out there. So we'll let you know. I don't know if they've come up yet. Let me just check real quick.
I haven't seen anyone
yet. Nothing yet. Okay. So let's talk about the main event again a little more. We said – so two things here. One of them was this was asked a lot, Casey, going in. Is this do or die for Calvin Gastelum? You said no. I said maybe. Based on the performance, again, really close fight. Casey, I assume you're staying with that stance.
Yeah, I said unless Calvin looked horrible tonight and just got smoked within, a round. But he did not look horrible tonight. He fought – To me, this is one of those fights. If they fought 10 times, each guy wins 5 times right now at their level. It was an incredibly close fight. Kelvin won the last round. I mean, so I think both guys are kind of in the same spot. They're kind of exactly where they were because Canada was already ranked higher in our real rankings and the UFC rankings. I think both guys are kind of right where they're at. Nothing really changed for me.
I was going to say, Cannonier number 7 in our rankings, the consensus, and then Calvin Gastelum at 12. Ahead of Cannonier in our rankings, Vettori, Derek Brunson, and Wusasi, those are the three names right ahead of him. I don't think his performance tonight jumps him over any of those guys necessarily.
No, absolutely not. No? Especially after the dominant performance Wusasi had. Was it Was it last week or was it when was that?
It was just last weekend.
It was last weekend. Okay,
it's all blurring together.
Everything's just one long fight.
It really does.
Life is a long fight week.
Gastelum 12 behind him, Kevin Holland, Uriah Hall, Andre Muniz. I think Gastelum also just maintains a spot. I don't think he drops in our rankings. Probably not. So there we go. So this was our concern kind of going into this fight. You know, we were like, it's a good fight. We're just like, what kind of implications does it have, win or lose? And really nothing
nothing. I go, oh, Jared Cannonier, he's definitely better than, you know, Musasi or Costa. Costa was the original opponent tonight, correct?
For Cannonier, correct.
For Cannonier, yeah. Costa, he hasn't fought since the
– Not since the – no, he has not. I know that fight didn't go well for him, but man, he's clearly like someone who people really want to see compete, and it is unfortunate he has not been able to get back in there.
That fight did make a lot more sense than the Kelvin fight, but this fight was a great fight. Not an all-time classic, but a good main event. I think it delivered. But ranking wise, though, everyone's kind of
where they started. This was a professional MMA main event. It was a very, very two guys, very skilled. They're going to give you a good five hard rounds. But is this a fight that we're really going to remember by the end of the year? Honestly, probably not. Calvin Gastelum just tweeted, "I think I won, but whatever." So
what a man of words. Just I think I won, but whatever. Which is kind of why I like Kelvin, because Kelvin's always kind of stays in his lane. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't try to break the mold. You know, we know what we can get with Kelvin Gastelum, and we got that tonight. And what did you learn tonight about Jared Cannonier?
I think he answered some questions about his gas tank, which again, I don't know why.
That's
like,
what I think. Yeah,
that was one of the only questions we had for him. But again, as most people said, he's looked pretty good. Like he just hasn't gone five rounds again since way, way back in the day when he was a heavyweight. But I never saw anything in any of his fights that made me think he couldn't go like a good five rounds. So, but yeah, if there was any doubt, he looked good. He looked good in the fifth.
I mean, he did lose the fifth round. So it's not like he came out the strongest in the fifth round, but he didn't get his butt kicked or anything. He wasn't like gassed or anything. I think I think it was just a close competitive fight. That's all.
Yeah. So. I think Gastelum. I know I was before. I was kind of leaning towards this is a do or die for him. I still think his job is not super secure, but I would like to see him fight Paulo Costa now. I feel like he has replaced Costa twice. Costa owes him a favor and should take a fight with Gastelum being his understudy now his last two fights and give him one more big fight. But I don't know, maybe Gastelum. Would you like to see Gastelum take a step back in competition?
Are we doing on to the next already? Are we doing that right now?
I'm not making my official on to the next one pick yet, but I'm just kind of like, what's in the future for him?
If Kelvin does take that fight against Costa, if that's booked. I would love to have some kind of reassurance that Kelvin won't be released if he loses that fight, because that is just BS. If you lose to like top five fighters and you somehow get cut off that, if you're losing to, I don't know, name a rando middleweight that lost his last fight. I don't know.
Let's just say a guy he beat. What if he had lost like Ian Heinisch?
The Ian Hyatt fight, that was a do or die. That's what I mean. But that was more of a do or die in the sense that is Kelvin still an elite middleweight? I think even after this performance tonight for loss, I still considered in the UFC Kelvin an elite middleweight. Like, you know, you still can't deny what he did to Israel Adesanya and pushing him to the breaking point.
Yep.
So I would like short answer for this long ramble already. But I would like Kelvin to take a big jump back now. I got to look at the UFC roster, but there's got to be some random
Yes,
I don't know.
Tune in to
or something. Is he a middleweight? Yeah, him. That's who Kelvin should
fight. Is he still in the UFC?
Wake him up. See what he's doing.
That's the other question. Yeah. People tune in to on the next one on Sunday. Hopefully it'll be up Sunday again. No Mike Heck. I should be getting joined by MMA Fighting's own Steven Morocco. So there you go. So a little bit of a different look, but we will have the answers for you as to what should be next for Actually, only Jared Cannonier. We weren't planning to matchmake Calvin, if I'm being honest. So we might have to just say it now. So there you go, Jack Marshman. There's your official. Jack Marshman is Casey's pick, and Paulo Costa is my pick. I think he owes him. But I agree, it would suck if he loses to another tough guy on Costa, and then the UFC is like, oh, wow, he can't compete at the highest level anymore. Clearly,
yeah.
He can.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah.
Have the bonuses come in yet? Surely they must. No? Nothing yet, eh, Casey?
I'm not on the Twitter sphere right now.
Now, this is normally where we would talk about the co-main, but we're going to skip over. We kind of touched upon it already before.
There's an important part we need to talk about before we go to the co-main. Jared Cannonier's post-fight interview. Did you listen
to
it?
What would you like to say about it? Let me see. Hold on. I'll read the quote, because I did tweet it out of our account. I'll read this. His last thing he said was, DC gave him the setup, teed it up for him. You know, Jared, who do you want to fight next? Cannonier said, well, I'm broke, so I need to fight. Hopefully I get that title shot, but the right name might make me say yes. So not exactly a triumphant post-fight winner speech. Casey, I sense you didn't like the tone of that speech.
It's not about Jared Cannonier. It's just about, I mean.
Oh, not at all.
This is a whole another subject matter. But I just felt it needed to be mentioned. I mean, there's something broken in the mixed martial arts business of prize fighting, where Jared Cannonier, who we all agree is an elite middleweight, he is a UFC veteran. It's not like he's one or two fights in the UFC. Main evented a fight night card. He's one fight possible away. Maybe his next fight would be for a title shot. And the guy is freaking broke. So unless he's got really bad money management, is just wasting way too much money on crystals, which is a great thing to spend your money on.
Oh, gosh.
So that's all. Just something's messed up in the sport. And we can't do anything. I'm just a media member. You're just fans, fighters. I don't know. It's time to fight the tougher fight.
And look. It's we in the media have been beating this drum for a while, and I think a lot of fans have too. But if you're a fan there who's like on the fence, or you say I don't care about fighter pay, you got to take a side here. And I when I say that, I mean you got to take the fighter's side here. Put the pressure on Dana White. Tweet at him. Whatever it is you guys normally do to get you guys are very. I'm talking to the fans here, the listeners, the fans, viewers. You guys are very powerful. I think not just with your wallet. I know people are like, well, whatever. I answer with my wallet. It's like, no. I mean, tweet at Dana White. Have conversations on social media. Have conversations with people in real life and talk about fighter pay. This is if you're headlining a UFC event on ESPN on national television. At no point in your post fight speech should you be saying I'm broke. I don't know how anyone can think this is a good look and how they can. And again, yes, Jared Cannonier is responsible for his choices, whatever. If you want to look into whatever his investments, maybe he's made bad investments. I don't know. But to assume that is silly. We don't know. Why? Why would you assume that it's his fault that he's not making enough money competing at the UFC level? We know. Fighter pay is disclosed. Actually, it's not disclosed as much anymore. Unfortunately.
Yeah, there's a reason for that.
But look, we have him saying some of that. We have CDL Gon saying publicly how much he made. We have Misha Tate saying, look, she spent a lot in her camp, fine, maybe more so than most people, but she's a high-level athlete. Athletes in other sports don't have to worry about this. Why? I know the UFC is different. The UFC is not baseball. The UFC is not the NFL. The UFC, I totally understand. It's not the same thing. But it is high-level major league sports, and I just don't know any other high-level major league sports where the athletes are openly talk about how much they're struggling like this. It's absurd.
I just feel weird criticizing fighters or fans yelling at fighters online, social media accounts, when they have a freaking roommate. It's like these guys are like they're the highest. You're the highest level of the sport. You're one of the top 10 people doing what you do in your occupation, and making more than a lower middle class living, I don't know. I've worked in MMA well over a decade now. I still don't understand how professional fighters make a living, to be honest, off fight purses. I mean, that's all. But we can move on to the co-main event. Sorry, I want to throw that out there because it kind of startled me a bit.
Look, yeah, we could talk about this all day. And in general, I know people, I know there's a resentment towards athletes who are paid too much. I understand. But I think if you look at, if people look at like kind of the finances and how like these businesses work, athletes in general, just based on their contracts, are actually really underpaid. I know that sounds stupid. Like seeing when you, especially when you see someone get paid like $300 million to hit a ball with a bat, it sounds stupid, but like compared to how much revenue is generated by their work and all this stuff. Anyway, it's a, we could harp on this all day. UFC fighters are definitely underpaid. It's just, it's, that's not going, that issue is not going away anytime soon. It, the discussion, I just say, is not going away anytime soon, and it shouldn't.
And remember, and Endeavor, the parent company of UFC, just announced like record profits, the best whatever quarter for the UFC. I don't know, yeah. Whatever money stuff.
And people, how do you think that happens? Okay, I'm just saying, it's,
I think it happens.
Do the math. Do the math. Let's talk about Casey. I was going to say, normally we would talk about the co-main event here. We kind of touched upon already. And let's be honest, we didn't think this should have been the co-main event, Casey. So let's talk about the fight that we thought should have been the co-main event, or really should have been the main event, the flyweight main card opener between Alexandre Pantoja and Brandon Royval. Everything we expected. Royval is an insane pressure fighter, one of the best like pressure fighters in any division, a relentless wrestler. And it's just a guy who, when he's in trouble, he's not even, when he's in trouble, you're in trouble if you're his opponent, because he's just so tricky. And Pantoja, a lesser man, may have fallen to some of Royval's tricks tonight. Pantoja is, again, one of the five best flyweights in the world. And he showed it with that control tonight. So let's talk about his performance. What do you think of Pantoja tonight, Casey?
What I said coming into the fight, if Pantoja wins, and especially if he wins like this, he absolutely should be fighting for the title next. His next fight. Now, is Moreno going to be the next opponent? Maybe not. It could be Figgy, a trilogy. If it's not Figgy for the trilogy, it has to be Pantoja. He has earned it. They even had the like very super polite call out, which I loved. I loved the look. I loved it. great job of UFC production staff having the having Moreno right there. Great TV.
Oh, they nailed that.
Yeah, just great
UFC
TV.
Did such a good job.
You have the package. You have the promo right there. You know, and I hope it happens. This is a great. If they don't do this in Mexico, because of COVID stuff, if they can't do this in Mexico. Have Moreno fight in Mexico. Please have this for like a main event on ABC. That's all. This deserves like worldwide attention. So
I would love that.
And I only say, obviously, for me who doesn't pay for pay-per-views because I work in it, I understand why the UFC or maybe some fans want it as a main event for pay-per-view. But I totally think this is a main event pay-per-view worthy title fight. Just on the skill set alone, I understand name value is a different story, but. Yeah, please treat these. I hope the UFC treats these guys like the stars and great fighters they are, and not bury Pantoja in the opening fight on a throwaway fight night card. You know,
all right, Casey, let me deal with some troll in our comments first of all. Okay, no. Look. I'm hearing. I get it. The counter, the name you didn't mention, Casey, and the counter that everyone was throwing out there tonight, Askar Askarov. Okay, I understand. Askar Askarov beat Pantoja, convincing win. For sure. I have no issue if Askar Askarov gets the title shot. Pantoja is the more compelling matchup for Moreno right now. I'm sorry. That's just a fact. He has beaten Moreno twice definitively. He submitted him on The Ultimate Fighter in about, I think he said, a minute. They talked about it on the show today, on the broadcast today. He beat him convincingly in the UFC. There was a 30, I don't know if it was 30-26 is across the board, but it was 30-26. And Askarov missed weight in his last appearance. So there's a lot of reasons to have Pantoja over him. And look, Askarov should get the next shot, for sure. Askarov doesn't even have to fight again, if you ask me. I think he should, just to stay busy, and he probably wants to. But if he chooses to sit on the shelf, Askarov has absolutely done enough to earn a title shot. I would have no problem if he's just like chilling for the next 6 months and says, hey, I got next. I got next if whoever wins the next title fight. But I think the Pantoja title fight is more compelling. Again, he has the two wins over the champ. It's so easy to sell. They just set it up on television right now. It's very present. Yeah.
That's the fight to make. If they don't do the Figgy trilogy, which I'm not against either, just because I think that'll sell well. But Pantoja is there. He's done it. He did everything he needed to do. He fought one of the best rounds of MMA this year, that round one, and then finishing Royval in round two. It's awesome. Just awesome. Oh, and I loved Pantoja's call out. He was like, I beat him twice. But then he goes, oh, that sounds kind of mean. It's like, well, I beat him, but he got better when I beat him.
What's so, important is that you learned.
Yeah, you learned. Winner learn.
We all learned something. We all learned something and became friends. So great performance. And Bennett, Brandon Royval, he's clearly this guy who I don't know now if he's going to get that title fight. But boy, he's fun to watch. He's so fun. He's so unpredictable. So amazing at scrambling. And again, if it wasn't a guy like as experienced and as well-rounded as Pantoja, Royval can steal fights from so many guys who higher ranking than him, better names. So I look forward to watching him fight. But Pantoja is just, I think, again, is one of the most underrated guys.
And Pantoja beat my boy, Manel Cape. He beat the best flyweight in the world. He legit beat him. So he's got it. He's got the thing. But I want to say my one complaint about that fight, it only lasted a round and a half.
Yeah, I know. It was really exciting.
Have you honestly, when was the last time you saw a fight and when it ended, you're like, man, I wish that lasted longer? You know, I felt like this was one of those fights. It's like, it can have gone to the third round. I wanted a couple more minutes. Yeah.
Parker Porter and Chase Sherman. Oh. I was like, give me two more rounds. Yeah. I'm kidding. By the way, that was an entertaining fight. It's just they cut a pretty fast pace to the first half of the fight for heavyweights. And I'm like, there's no way they're keeping this up. There's no way. So those guys are tough as hell, though. So, yes, to Duke732NJ in the comments, you're welcome that we acknowledge Askarov. You don't need to be so insistent. And again, I'd have no problem with him getting the title fight. I just think Pantoja should be first. And I don't see how anyone can disagree with that. We have bonuses.
Ooh. I'm sure it wasn't mine, but what are they?
Yeah, maybe. Damon just did. Damon, where? Our boy Damon Martin just threw them out there. Oh, here we go. No fight of the night. I'm okay. Sure. Okay. I'm actually don't mind that. Bahamondes, like we said, was a lock. Pantoja, who I also said should get a performance bonus. And then you said Josiane Nunez. She got it. And then they also went with William Knight. I think that's pretty good.
No problem. No issues with that. Mm-hmm. If they skip by, okay. I was going with the assumption the traditional fight of the night thing, but yeah, that sounds fine. No issues there. Who got anyone get? Oh yeah, we talked about this before. If you got it, you got to finish. Dana, throw him an extra 25K. Do something, man. Like, come on.
Again, you know us. We just say, yeah, it should be like 50,000. Honestly, 50,000 for Finch, but they can't blow up the budget, Casey. They can't blow the budget. You know, those record profits don't make themselves. So, but yes, congratulations to the bonus winners. I'll read them out again. That was William Knight, Ignacio Bahamondes, Josiane Nunez, and Alexandre Pantoja. Yeah, great performances up and down.
Oh, you know, I didn't get one. That's kind of insane. Oh, you missed weight. Never mind. Syed.
Yeah, Saeed. I'll try and say it like John Anik says it. Saeed Jakub Kakramanov.
Kakramanov. I was very impressed by that young man. And yeah, I understand he missed weight because of it was extremely short notice. And traveling international, I am going to throw that weight miss away. Sorry, I'm just jumping. I just remembered him. I was like, there's so many fights tonight. What weight class is he?
He is a bantamweight. So, yes, and again, I don't think he would have...
Another great bantamweight. Well, no, I'm not saying he's a great bantamweight, but another just insane new talent, international talent too. Yep. Just some dude from Uzbekistan, you know. And I love men's bantamweight all over the world. That's just great. Great weight class. Excited to see him fight next in the UFC. Great fight.
MMA Twitter was talking about him a lot going into this fight. So. Not surprising to some people. Again, some disappointed about the missing weight, but he took the fight. I think he said 4 days notice. So again, I don't like it.
He couldn't even go to the fighter meetings where they talk to DC and those guys. They go, hey, I did that. You know, I trained. He didn't go because he was on a freaking plane from the other side of the world. Get the guy a freaking break, and they still took his money. All right.
Parker Porter, as we said, won an entertaining decision over Chase Sherman. Just a stand-up, slug-em-out fight. Saeed Jakub Kakramanov with a technical submission over Trevin Jones. Scary finish there. Vince Pichel, solid 3-round performance against Austin Hubbard. He's won 3 straight now. Vince Pichel, one of those sleepers at lightweight. And as we said,
Pantoja, man, like just sneaking up at those rankings, man. He's going to be a tough fight for whoever next. Yeah.
Pantoja beat Roy Val. On the prelims, it was headlined by Austin Lingo with another – with a good kind of come-from-behind win over – not come-from-behind. He lost the first round, won the next two. Great coaching by Asif Sood, as always. And then Brian Kelleher, friend of the show, getting back in the win column with a very strong wrestling-based win over Domingo Pallarte.
Yeah, look at Keller expanding his mixed martial arts arsenal. Sure. Yeah, business is booming. And I like
he almost got him with a giller.
Yeah, and I like the call out. You call out O'Malley.
Yes,
I think he's called out O'Malley every fight.
Yes,
good for him.
He stuck with it. He stuck with it. And then Josiane Nunez, definitely one to watch. I assume she'll drop down to 125. She was a replacement opponent, I believe. So 135 just made sense for her. But she is a fierce puncher. I mean, there's a little bit of Jessica Andrade in there. She's now 8-1, seven knockouts, career win by knockout. So she is real.
I hope she stays at 35, just because the 35 division is so shallow right now. We just need more fights.
Sure.
But I'm excited about seeing her again, and I'm actually excited about seeing Bea Maliki. Is that you say Bea Maliki? Bea Maliki. Even though she got knocked out, she's definitely a joy to watch fight. And hope to see her back. It was an exciting fight. It was a very exciting fight.
This is one of those fights. Look, she's a Bea is a very technically strong fighter, but man, sometimes there's no substitute for power. Mm-hmm. And this Nunez just has it. This Josiane Nunez just has it. William Knight.
Real quick about the Maliki. Uh-huh. To me, when I watched that fight, she made one of those, not trying to bring myself up, but because usually, say when you're sparring, and if you're consistently the taller, longer fighter, you get in really bad habits of just, I can just lean back from punches and stuff. And she literally did that with Nunez. And I think Maliki is like incredibly tall for her weight. And she's kind of got lazy, just kind of leaned back with her arms down. And Nunez just like just got a little bit farther and boom, popped her. And like, it was like, and like the whole fight, Maliki has been way more technical than that. Yeah. And she just got lazy for a moment. And that's what happened. That's why this sport is so unpredictable. You get lazy for a moment, you get knocked out. So
look,
Maliki looked impressive, but she made a mistake and she paid for it big time.
There is no preparing for that kind of power that Nunez brings and that kind of aggression. I don't care how technical you are, unless you're like an Israel Adesanya or something like that. If someone has this kind of power, I mean, they're going to walk through your best stuff. They're going to take shots. They're going to come at you from weird angles. They're going to put pressure on you that you just cannot simulate in sparring. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're going to get knocked out. I mean, you get caught, you get KO'd, right? And so Nunez is super fun to watch. But yeah, Maliki is a skilled fighter for sure.
I like her, yeah.
Speaking of power, William Knight. This guy works out, as we always say. Man, it's funny. Sometimes there's some ugly moments in his fights where you're like, oh man, he's just never. I don't think he's gonna be able to find the range. But boy, when he does, and he lands with one of those bombs, mercy me, that guy's got some real. He's got some muscles, Casey, and there's legitimate punching power in those muscles. Those are not cosmetic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but but you need a lot of blood, a lot of oxygen in those muscles. So.
Yes.
If William Knight, if his gas tank is still over 50% or whatever, he is. Don't let him touch you. He just flips that arm out. Knockout. Like that wasn't even a punch. I was just like, knocked the Mr. Buffalo out. One of the better nicknames in the sport.
He grinded out kind of an ugly win over Kamer. So there's something to this Knight guy besides just big finishes, but he certainly got one tonight, one to remember. We talked about Bahamondes a lot. Great performance. Roosevelt Roberts is a talented guy. He's got to go back to the drawing board or something. He's got all the gifts and tools to be, I think, a legitimate top 20 lightweight, and he just hasn't been able to put it together. Yeah. But Bahamondes stole his thunder, and I think one of the – I would put that in my top five knockouts of the year right now.
I threw it up there on our kind of gallery of something to keep track of. Yeah, that knockout was awesome, and especially coming at the last 5 seconds of a fight when he was pretty much cruising to a decision victory at that point, and then he was like, you know what, I got a little bit more in the gas tank. I'm gonna just spin around a couple more times and see what happens.
Yeah, a lot of guys wouldn't do that. A lot of guys, you look at the clock, you cruise, your corner's probably saying you hear the clapper. You're like, oh, okay, what's good?
It wasn't Roberts that was throwing just a Hail Mary spinning, heel kick.
Yeah.
The guy was winning. I don't know if I gotta watch it. I think Robert Roberts looked like he was super gassed, but I think that was just from getting beat up a lot, to be honest.
Well, Bahamonda said himself, he was kicking him in the body a lot. And then he's like, I was landing the body kick at will, and I just said, F it. I'm going to go. And then he hit an elbow and then followed with the spin kick. And he blamed his corner and poor Bilal Muhammad, he said, for teaching him all the bad words in English.
More compliments to the UFC production crew. Was that the fight where Muhammad was actually in the studio? Yeah, and they cut him and he ran out there. Just good TV. Great TV.
I think production top to bottom maybe not just on this card, but particularly tonight was really, really good.
Yeah, it was.
I thought they had caught a lot of great moments. They perfectly captured, it was Bahamondes who his entry, this very serene song, and he just let out this absolute scream. And I thought it was captured perfectly on the broadcast and also hilarious. And then the opening fight, Ramiz Brahimaj getting to show his awesome submission skills and choking Sasha Plotnikov unconscious. So,
yeah. That's probably the last we'll see of Plotnikov in the UFC.
Maybe. He's a great story, but yeah, 1-2 now in the UFC.
And two straight rear naked choke finishes. Yeah, so.
Grappling defenses need some work. Casey, we've got some time. Let's get some questions here questions and comments.
I'm going to go back to everyone's old questions, but if you have any new ones, throw them in. I will try to
spam
get them.
Now is the time to spam. Guys, I know you guys love to spam. Now is the time to spam, please.
All right, here we go. Do-do-do. Let's throw a comment. It's just a compliment because I like compliments.
The best. No, thank you. Thank you, guys. Like I said, we've picking up the slack a little this weekend. Some of our boys, again, much much needed vacations. These guys work so damn hard. I have no problem. You know, it's great that they're taking some time off, and cannot wait to see Mike again and Jose and everyone else. So thanks, Almac. Thank you.
Really, wait, why can't just take the compliment? It's about us and like those guys, mm-hmm. whoever. Yeah, it's us.
I don't want to say we're better than them anyway, regardless of whether they're here or not. But that's what was implied.
Okay, it was implied. All right.
I think
Is this we're talking about? Maybe.
Oh my god! I already got to deal with this on Twitter. Jessica Crystal Crew. He's sponsored by the Crystal Council. He gets those for free. So, and diamond emoji, sparkly emoji, diamond emoji, sparkly emoji. Obviously, talking about Jared Cannonier, who even though he is broke, apparently that doesn't matter. Crystals are not part of his budget. He is getting crystals gratis, as it were. So.
I have some crystals from the Crystal Council. They're sitting right next to me. They are enlightening me. I'm feeling the energy, the positive aura or whatever crystals. I don't, you know, crystal stuff.
Crystal Council, if you're out there, I'm just going to let you know that's an automatic return to sender if I see that package come my way. So, what do we got here?
Jeez. We didn't talk about this.
Scott McCray, don't play with me. The best line of the night. That was of the night.
Best line of the night. Best line in. Oh.
Well, double entendre by our boy Scott. Don't play. That was directed at you, Casey.
Yeah.
Who during the pre-fight Q&A was like, I don't really know if William Knight's gonna make it as a contender. Don't play with him, Casey. Don't play with him.
Okay. And I still feel that way about Mr. Knight, but I also agree. I do not want to play with him.
Do not play around with that guy. Fabio Chiron learned that the hard way today. Do not play around with friggin' William Knight. Jeez Louise. Al Mack again. Casey's favorite fight was Porter Sherman. It was a good fight.
That fight ruled. It was such heavyweight MMA.
Oh my gosh,
I loved it so much. I love heavyweight MMA because it always goes the distance, I feel like. It's like, oh, it was just great. Did either guy even get dropped? It was just they just kind of kept hitting each other. Yeah.
No. Chase Sherman loves to walk through punches. Like, he's actually a good striker. He has no defense. Like, his defense is hit me in the face. You're not going to knock me out.
Yeah.
Hit me in the face. Keep hitting me. It's like, okay.
I felt like I was watching a bare knuckle fight. With MMA gloves. That's what it felt like. It had that kind of, like, I couldn't have seen those same guys fight last night? Yeah, last night at Bare Knuckle. So,
and so someday you probably will.
Yeah.
Casey, are there any questions? Do we have any questions?
Yeah, of course we got questions, man.
We got questions. Scott McCray, Pantoja Royval delivered the cannibal, one fair and square, but did you have an issue with Mark Smith dismissing Royval's alleged eye poke? I think Herb did it to Calvin as well. I remember the Calvin. No, it was Cannonier who was complaining about the eye poke, wasn't it? In the Gastelum fight at the end? Maybe I wasn't watching closely enough. Here's the thing. Generally, I don't have any issue with referees dismissing eye pokes. It's obviously depends if there was an obvious one, but I'd have to see that again. So I apologize, guys, if there was like a blatant eye poke and referee Mark Smith missed it. But there's a lot of time guys complain about just like getting hit in the face or getting punched in the eye.
It does feel like an eye poke, yeah.
Sure, and if you it happens so fast, if you're the guy getting hit by it, you don't know the difference. Was it a finger? Was it a guy's knuckle? It's like you got hit in the eye. You know, you don't know. So if it's hard for the fighter to even know, it's almost as hard for the referee to know because he might just not see it at the right angle. Again, it could have been a punch that just happened really quickly. You don't want to go to the replay right away to look at something like that. So, no, I don't really have an issue with that kind of thing normally. Again, I'll have to see that look at that clip again specifically.
I would say this about eye pokes. For the most part, the refs have to take the fighter's word for it because, honestly, eye pokes are too fast. You just can't tell. They're just going on this. I mean, unless you really see a clean punch that lands right there. Mm-hmm. And I think there was one tonight where someone got, I can't remember now. Someone did get punched right in the eye, but it was clearly a punch. And the rep and the guy was like, ah, you know, but I don't remember that fight. But no, I don't take the issue. Back to the question. I don't take any issue. No, I don't think there was any eye poke controversy tonight.
I'm just going to quickly touch upon this one from our pal, Joseph Boza. He says, we kind of talked about it before. Does Calvin get his walking paper? He says, what people don't realize is that five of his last six fights have been losses. And I'd say the opposite. I think a lot of people know that five of his last six fights have been losses. What they don't think of is who he's lost to. I think that's really what's – I think a lot of people know he's in a bit of a slump right now. But, yeah, look at the names, right? The only losses he looked really bad in, the Hermanson first-round submission, that's fine.
Yeah, caught. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
And Whitaker, who is the number two middleweight in the world. And that's it. So those are the two fights where I thought he was, like, clearly, you know, just beaten. I don't think there's any shame in that. Darren Till, you could argue he won. That was a really close fight. So, no, I think the quality of competition matters.
And like I said, Kelvin, how old is Kelvin Gastelum?
He's 29.
29. If you know who would love for him to get his walkie papers? Scott Coker. Because I guarantee you, Kelvin Gastelum in the Bellator cage would be awesome.
And I would hope Kelvin would go do PFL. I would like to see him try.
Or whatever. Either way, there'll be lots of bidders out there. Kelvin Gastelum is still an elite middleweight. That's all.
There was no middleweight division in PFL this year, unfortunately, though, so he might have to go up to 205, which would just be hilarious.
All right.
John Danyon. Which of these two fighters needs to consider changing weight classes more, Pallarte or Gastelum? Pallarte, I assume, going up, right? Pallarte is super tall, right? Yeah, so Pallarte is 6 feet tall. He's a pretty gigantic... okay, look, consider it if it was like anything was possible, clearly Gastelum. Gastelum at 170, I think, is a much more viable contender. But I just don't know if he wants to make that lifestyle change to do it.
Why would he need to go to 170? He's fought...
He's small.
Super competitive.
He's small at 185.
Incredibly competitive fights. Incredibly
But here's the difference. He's competitive at 185. At welterweight, I think he could actually, like... be a winner. There's a difference. You're right. This is the question that's being asked. That 15 pounds makes a huge difference.
It does. And size,
the amount of reach he's always giving up, that's huge. That's the difference between being competitive and actually winning fights, which I think to him should matter. To us, it might not matter. I think to him, it should matter.
I think he just needs to reevaluate who he's booked against. And was he Ali his manager? Yeah, I think Kelvin's one of the Ali guys, right?
Don't remember.
Whatever. Well, his manager needs to get him. He needs for me. If I'm Kelvin Gastelum, I just you know what? You just say I'm not gonna fight for the belt for the next 2 years. What I will do is fight. I'll give me the Sean O'Malley route and give me guys outside of the top 25 for your next three fights. You know, and unfortunately, maybe the UFC won't want to pay him as much. I don't know, but he needs to me three solid wins. Two of those wins can be guys easily outside the top 25. Throw me a name on the roster, and whoever that guy lost against, Kelvin fights that guy. That's what, to me, if I'm Kelvin. I think he's fine at 85. I think he looks great at 85. Yeah, he's small. So what?
But he's not winning. But Casey, he's not winning.
A lot of people aren't winning. But at some point, though,
you're banging your head against the wall, and you have to ask what you can change. You can't just say, "Well,
you
I mean,
change,
yes, you can change
the person in front of you.
Bonus,
you change your person in front
but eventually
of you.
But eventually, you're going to run into these guys again.
Kelvin Gastelum, right? I mean, the reason Kelvin's awesome because he can strike, he has super fast hands, and he can take a shot. If you go down to 170, yes, I guarantee he will not be able to take the same punishment.
Oh, I disagree. I think it translates completely. We've seen him fight at 170. We know how good he is. Like, it's not like this is theoretical. We know, even though he struggled to make the weight, he was really, really good at 170.
He's never looked. Who wins it? Esther Lynn. I don't think he look. I think he's good at 170. I think he's good at 185, and he's just. And like, what is wrong with being a top 10 middleweight? He's just losing the guys
nothing,
better than
what if he could be a top five welterweight? There's a big difference.
I just don't think
there's
he is
a big
top
difference.
Five, I don't think.
I know. Look,
I don't need a top five welterweight.
But we know he's not a top five middleweight anymore, and maybe never will be. So it's like, again, you can. So how, you know what I mean? It's like, how can he just keep bumping his head against the same wall?
Do you think he loses against Jared Cannonier 10 out of 10 times?
I mean, probably.
What? What?
What if it's 7? What if it's 7 out of 10 times?
No.
What if it? Like it's and again, it doesn't matter because that's, it's a nice hypothetical, but it doesn't matter. We know his limitations, and to say that size didn't make a difference in that fight, I think it makes a huge difference. Huge difference.
I don't think so. I think he's good at 185.
Well, he lost. It's a good fight, but he lost.
Who was it? Oh my god! Who are other middleweights? I gotta bring the middleweight roster up.
Dude, bring it up. But I'll just say, here's his losses at 170. He only lost to Tyron Woodley.
What year was this?
2015.
Six years ago, man.
Yeah. I'm just saying. We've seen him fight. Oh, he's supposed to fight at 170. He weighed in at 180 for that fight?
Yes.
No.
He went to the hospital. Gross. Remember, he had to go to the hospital because his weight cuts were so bad.
Gross. But either way, he fought Tyron Woodley with like a weight advantage and lost. I don't know. So that split decision. And Neil Magny, split decision. So he only lost split decisions at 170. I'm just saying. If he could make it, I think he'd be great. But the other half of the question for John, Pilarte, I actually would like to see him go up. I do wonder if cutting down to 135 is just, again, it's not going to fix any wrestling deficiencies. Though I think... Is it fair to say there's less standout wrestlers at 145, Casey, the UFC?
Sorry, I'm just trying to get...
I'm not crazy, right?
The UFC website...
We're moving on from...
Atrocious.
Horrible.
I'm trying to find...
We're moving... We've been on this question way too long anyway, Casey. We got to move on from Gastelum. But I'm not crazy saying 145 has less elite wrestlers than 135, right? 135 is a lot of powerful wrestlers.
Have you actually gone to the UFC website in a while?
All right. Can we? You are. I can see you're going to be stuck on this rest night. Let's move on to another question.
There are so many guys who aren't even in UFC anymore. Listen, in the wrong. Okay, sorry. here we go. Are we?
Jeffrey Ortega, Alex Kelly, Diane talk about CM Punk and Brock Lesnar. Look at this. Not really. Again, we talked about CM Punk, I think, on
our Q&A.
Brock Lesnar, I love it. He looked like an asshole. And I mean that in the best possible way. If anyone finds screenshots of his return at SummerSlam tonight. But I don't have a lot to say about it. I don't really keep up with the WWE. I should say I keep up with it. I don't really watch it as much anymore. But cool that he's back. Make that money, Brock, as I always say. And again, he looks like a total asshole. And in the pro wrestling business, that's a good thing. So congrats to him for getting back. And again, I'm sure you're securing another fat bag, as Brock Lesnar does. So
WWE sucks. And
not a fan.
Bianca Belair got hosed tonight.
Good to see Becky Lynch back, but that was a rough segment. I don't know what they were thinking.
That was horrible.
All right, what do we got here?
Let's get a couple more.
Hold on, someone's...
MMA Waggers.
Yeah. Everyone's favorite German account, MMA Waggers. Oh, sorry, I missed the comment. Did you throw it up there?
Oh, no. Is that it? Yeah.
Yanez versus... Sorry. I saw it. Yanez versus Kelleher, sure.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I think 35 is so low. You can't really screw that up, to be honest. So, I like that.
Ishmael C. Killer Gorilla should change his name to the Crystal Gorilla. No, he shouldn't. Okay, that question's been answered. That's, what else? I'm amazed he hasn't.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised he hasn't.
Oh, like this is good. I like this one, actually.
Oh, Samuel Spencer. Does anyone else think Cordero's corner work with his two fighters has, with his top fighters, I assume that means, has been bad lately, giving a lot of undeserved confidence, it seems? I don't think it's ever bad to give them that kind of confidence. I assume Sam, thank you for the question, specifically after round three, I don't know if you saw that, Casey, he told Calvin that he was up 2-1. And this was after, I think he assumes Gaslam had won the
round one.
Which is fine. And I think he thought he round two. Where was the knockdown? Was that round two?
Knockdown was round three, and that was clearly, obviously, that was clearly Cannoneer's round.
Yes. So he thought he won the first two.
The point being, this is almost an open scoring question, but
We're not going to get into it.
But I agree with, I think Cordero actually did Kelvin a disservice tonight, or his camp, in the sense that in that fifth round, in Cannoneer's corner, they told him, we think you're up, or something like that. We think you're up, but you still gotta win. You still gotta win this round. You still gotta win this fight, you know, or something like that. In Kelvin's corner, they basically told him, you just, if you win this round, you win the fight. And he won the round, and he lost the fight. So clearly, they were wrong. They interpreted the fight wrong. And corners need to remember, if it is a close round, you have to assume your fighter lost that round. You just have to. Because tell Kelvin, imagine if Kelvin come out for fifth round, main event, you tell him, hey, just win this round, the fight's yours, you got it. And Kelvin wins the round, you know? But if you tell him, dude, if you don't knock this guy out, you lose the fight. You can win this round, you will lose the fight. You have to knock out Jared Cannoneer this round. You have 5 minutes to knock him out. You have to. And they didn't tell him that. And that changes the fighter's strategy. And it doesn't matter what a great round Kelvin had that round. He was going to lose the fight regardless, unless, he had a 10-8 round. But,
well, the counter argument to that, though, is, Casey, is that if your fighter is up, you don't want them to take a risk that might result in them getting knocked out. So if you are – again, and I'm not talking about this fight specifically, but in general, if you think your guy is up, let's say, 3-1 in a championship fight – even if it was 3 close rounds, if you're like confident enough that they won those first 3 rounds, the last thing you want to do is tell them, oh, you need to get a finish here to make sure we get it. And then they end up getting creamed because they're taking risks that they wouldn't normally take when they're trying to win a round, right? Or play it safe. So there is a time to tell fighters to play it safe. But I get what you're saying. In this particular case, Cordero should not have been as confident. So winning the fifth was pointless. But in general, there is an argument for
Kelvin actually did what the coaches told him to do. He actually followed the game plan, and he won the fifth round. And that's why Kelvin's like, what do you mean I lost the fight? My coaches told me I win this round, I win the fight. And that sucks for Kelvin. I'm not saying Cordero's a bad coach, obviously. He's one of the greatest coaches ever in mixed martial arts. It's just unfortunate that, you know, they, as coaches, you know, you're always going to be biased. And, you know, it's just how it is. And
I don't think it's clear, but you should have recognized they were
close rounds, and I don't know, that sucks for Kelvin. And I'm not saying that the fight's different, you know, I don't say whatever happens, I don't know, who knows, but Kelvin got the wrong advice coming into that fifth round as far as the score, and that did affect the outcome of the fight.
Yes, but again, like I said, if he was confident that they had won the first 2 rounds, which he shouldn't have been. Two of the first 3 rounds in this case. If he was confident that they really did win 2 of the first 3 rounds, I understand the just win this one and we're good. But yes, so the argument is also, it's not just about giving their fighter confidence. They also got to be a little bit better on reading what the judges might be seeing. In a fight like this, assuming we could be down 3-1, let's try and get the finish. But again, I don't think it's a cut and dry situation. I understand why Cordero would not give that advice in this situation. But what else we got, Casey? Is that Fezzik in the back?
Hey, Fezzik.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know all your pets, but hi, Fezzik. That's such a great dog name. I just love. That's such a great dog name.
Fezzik, shake. Shake, don't lick, shake. All right, she's out of it. That dog's wasted. You know what, sir? I think we answered almost everything about this.
Let's go. Let's end with a comment then. What do we got? Let's give the people the final word here.
Give me comments, people. Let me throw it. No questions. Just what'd you think people, about tonight's card?
Be nice. Be nice. While you're doing that, looking, Casey, let me say there will be an on to the next one on Sunday for anyone who tuned in late and is asking. Yes, I will probably be teaming up with MMA Fighting Steven Morocco as our Mike Heck is getting some much-needed R&R. But there will be an on to the next one maybe a little later than usual and a little bit more of me hosting than usual. But you guys should be used to that by now if you watch the preview show, Q&A.
Who won the Pacquiao fight?
Plus by now. Pacquiao lost. Ugas? Who's the guy? Ugas?
Yeah, I'm not even sure. All I know, it was a high-risk, low-reward type fight. That's what people
And it sounds like the judges got it right. Like, no controversy. Like, yeah, it was
hey, everyone was expecting BS, and he actually scored. Yeah, everyone's like, oh.
Well, apparently, it wasn't like a runaway performance, so people were like, okay, well, it wasn't like a blowout, but like, if the judges know what they're doing, there should be a clear Ugas win. But then, if the judges... boxing judges know what they're doing thing, but apparently the judges actually got this one right. So all around judging, excellent work all around.
Come on guys, give me some good ones. Oh, here we go.
I know, I see a lot of sensible comments. Ugas one, thank you. Thanks Almac, thank you. Yes, I believe two of the judges, that was the score for two of the judges' cards. 115-113. Would y'all talk to Stone Zebra? Would y'all something? What do you want to talk? What do you want us to talk to him about? We talk to him all the time.
Talk to Owani all the time. Yeah.
You want us to talk to him about pro wrestling? Because the New York Knicks? Don't get him started. Don't get him started. Knicks. Believe me, it'll never end.
What's worse, talking out shoddy about the Suns or talking to Ariel about the Knicks? What's worse?
Oh God, it's like equal. Ugh. The prelims were dope. Tree Flower, yeah, they were.
They were. Yeah, man. 4-4.
The only fight that was like kind of uneventful was the Kelleher win. But I mean, it was a good, you know, it was a good performance from him. It just wasn't a back and forth fight. But yeah. I actually like the Lingo Saldana fight too. I actually think there's a lot to see there as well. So.
Yeah.
Haywood Jablomi, classic name. A couple of donks arguing. Yeah. All right. Casey, I guess that's it. I guess that sums up the show.
Yeah, that sums it up.
All right, guys. Well, apologies to any questions or comments of this quality that we didn't get around to. But thank you guys for tuning in. Like we said, we'll probably have more of a full crew in the weeks to come. Everyone's taking some much needed time off. Thank you, Casey. Best producer in the biz. Always keeping this thing together. And this is Alexander Kaley signing off for tonight. Keep your eye on MMAfighting.com. We have a lot more coverage coming tonight and Sunday and Monday. And next Sunday, right? Is it Sunday?
Oh, yeah. I'll be there. I'm going to Cleveland Tuesday. I forgot.
Okay, so Casey might not be with us on the post-fight shows. I don't know, but he will be in Cleveland August 29th. It's Sunday, right?
Yeah, whatever next Sunday is. We'll have a post show. We'll be doing all the Woodley Paul stuff. I totally forgot. The most
anticipated fight of the month, Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley. Yes, guys, we will have a lot of coverage for that. So please join us.
Who you got?
And otherwise, CM Punk. Oh, CM Punk's going to go over. He's going to go over. He's not going to job him as much, man.
All right. Thank you, everyone. So much MMA stuff next week and boxing.
Have a great week. Yeah. Have a great week.
Go spend time with your family. Read a book or something.
Go hug someone.
Yeah, go hug someone. Don't read a book. That's a waste of time.
All right. Good night, guys.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.